I mean, these are like dream cars for people to even get to see. You've owned 8 of these things. That's amazing.
Guys, you could spend every day of the week talking to someone about the newest, coolest technology that does whatever that you can spend money on that's going to help your business. The biggest problem is most people are looking for the new shiny thing to do.
Yeah.
And all they need to do is people to phone and call their leads.
Oh man, Mr. Andrew, we got a good one this week. Are you excited?
Well, we got a great one. This one's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're kind of hitting fun this week. If you guys noticed the theme, fun this week. I remember the very first time I saw a video by this guy. And I was sitting there and I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. This is insane. I can't believe this guy can live this kind of life and do these kind of things. And it's pretty fascinating. What was your first experience with this guest we have today, Andrew?
I think it was at our office. It was probably something crazy involving a Lamborghini. And I think it was actually when he pulled his Lamborghini into our office and parked it there. It was one of the first interactions I had with our guest here. So
now, I had no idea there was any connections with Clay or any of this stuff. I saw him completely independently online. I was like, this
really?
Is amazing. Yeah, just completely saw this guy driving Lamborghinis really fast on the road. There was like, I think like 4 guys driving Lamborghinis. And I'm like, this is crazy. And then I saw our guest today. And then I came to a conference, a business conference at Clay's office. And I was like, oh my gosh, I know this person. I said his name and my dad's like, you don't know this guy. I was like, I know that guy. Like, I know this guy. I didn't know he'd be here, but I know this guy. And guys, we are excited to get to introduce you to and to get to have some fun and get to talk with Mr. Lambro Steve.
So, what's up, guys?
Welcome, Steve. We're so excited to have you. Now, your name is Steve Currington, but you're more famous for your alias name, the nickname that you got here called Lambro Steve. Tell us about this nickname, Lambro Steve. Where did that come from?
Well, when I started doing car stuff, everybody was like, hey, you're hilarious. You should film yourself and make a YouTube. And that was when YouTube was really popping off and was popular. So I came up with my bros that drive Lambos, and we came up with Lambros, which is my YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, everything. And then, you know, I'm a Lambro, so I'm the head Lambro Steve. So that's how it came. A lot of people just call me Lambo Steve, Lambro Steve, douchebag. I mean, pretty much any of those I'll answer to. So
yeah. So how many Lamborghinis have you actually owned throughout the years?
I think about 8. So I've had the 17 Huracan, the Gallardo, the 2 Uruses, Murcielago, 2 Technicas. 7 or 8.
I mean, these are like dream cars for people to even get to see. Like, some people are like, man, if I could ever go, it's like, if I could sit in one, if I could touch one. You've owned 8 of these things. That's amazing.
Yeah, you buy them, you drive them, you sell them, you buy another one. That's the move.
What was your first one? What was your first Lamborghini?
I bought one when I was like, in like 2014 was actually my first Lambo, and it was an 06 Gallardo, which is the V10.
Okay.
Since then, Andrew, you know, the Huracan came out after that. I only had it for like 4 months. 2 months into owning it, a 17-year-old in a Honda CRV pulled out in front of me and like messed up my front bumper. So it took about 45 grand and about, it was like a fender bender, but it was like 45 grand in 2 months to get it fixed. And then on the way home from Dallas, the engine exploded at like 140 and grenaded on me. So,
oh no.
Yeah. So
that's wild. Were you doing YouTube then? Did you film that or is it
no,
just maybe photos? No. Okay.
No, that was like way before that. I just kind of, and then I kind of like, you know, believe it or not, like, you can buy an Escalade now. Okay, I bought my wife's Escalade.
Okay.
For $121,000.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, but that's how much an Escalade costs.
Yeah.
That Lambo was $121,000.
Wow.
The only difference is that was in 2014. And, you know, I bought Sally's last Escalade in 2023. Mm-hmm. So, but you see a Lambo and maybe a Gallardo rolling around, you're like, oh my God, a Lamborghini. But yeah, most people don't realize, like, well, that S3 Escalade just drove by that cost more than that car, you know, because if it's an older one. But they're so timeless, you know, the people don't know the age, they don't know the models, they don't know, and they were kind of ahead of their time when it came to their aerodynamics and the design. So they do kind of, if you know cars, then you can see the age on some of them.
Yeah.
Like for me, when I went from the Huracan rear-wheel drive 580-2 to an Evo, you could really see the age on the 580-2, which is that original green one that Andrew was describing that I parked at the Thrive offices inside the building, which was a big controversy with the Native American people because they were like fire hazard. They were always freaking out. They hated me. I mean, they hated me and Clay, I think. So, but then when you move into a Technica like I have now, or you look at the new Aventador, like the SVJ or any of those, if you know cars, you can literally see and know kind of the age of how they've changed. But we all know the Countaches and the Diablos. And I mean, I was born in like the late 70s and 79 to be exact. And so the 80s and 90s were when a lot of those really became popular. So the funny thing about it is they were so cool when we were kids, but they were like 200 horsepower.
Right.
They're just so slow. So if you got a Countach or one of those cars right now, you'd be like, wah, wah.
Yeah.
You know,
now speaking of slow, the first video I saw involved cops in it.
Now, at the gas station?
Yeah, I think so.
The gas station. Yep.
Question for you. What is the fastest you've actually been in a Lamborghini? What's your top speed that you can share on a recording here for us on top speed today? You've been in a Lamborghini today ever? What's your top since 2014 when you very first got a Lamborghini? What's the fastest you've been?
So my daughter and I went on a rally in Kansas, and I think it said it would go 201.
Okay.
So we tested that, and it did. She filmed it. That's on my Instagram highlights if you want to go look at it. It's the point of view of her filming from the passenger seat. And then my friend Jacob has a bunch of those like super high horsepower twin turbo ones.
Okay.
Yeah, there it is. And play that thing. And in his car, which I haven't posted because sometimes you just don't post things.
Yeah.
I think we hit 208, but it was in like a quarter mile. It takes a minute for this to happen.
Yeah, that's not a 0-60. Yeah, you can see
you're
it.
Climbing
you can
see it right six, there. Yeah, you're climbing sixth gear, just moving. 180,
cranking.
190. That's insane. Seventh gear.
Look at that.
Now, this is close. This is a closed course. You know, thankfully, this is a good closed course track.
The Speedo, when I saw 201, I shut it down. But when we went back and paused it, it read 203. But, you know, you can say GPS time or whatever. Maybe I hit 198. Yeah. But, you know, now my Urus, which is the mom car, which is the SUV, said it would go 190. So, of course, we tested that.
Uh-huh.
And I got it to like 195. And that's an SUV. And that's a twin turbo V8.
Yeah. Wow.
That's insanity. But,
That's Holland. That's Holland for a minivan.
That's crazy.
Why did you choose Lamborghini over all the other car brands out there? There's Porsche, there's Ferrari, there's all the different car brands out there. Why Lamborghini?
Porsche stands for I'm poor. So obviously that's why I didn't get that. Ferraris, when I went to buy my first Lamborghini, I asked Justin at Lamborghini Houston at the time, which he's not, but a great guy. I still talk to him. I said, what's the deal? Like, what's the difference? Like, I'm attracted to Lamborghini. I mean, I like Lamborghinis, but like, what's the difference between like your Lamborghini owner versus your Ferrari owners, for example? Because that's like kind of the rivalry mainly, right?
Yeah.
And because I honestly didn't know at the time, and I was already a Lamborghini lover. And I didn't know until after I asked him that I actually fit in the Lamborghini category. So here's what he said. Your stockbrokers, your attorneys, your business guys, suit and tie, proper, driving on a Saturday kind of guys are your Ferrari guys. Okay. It's more of a status thing. They put it in their garage. They don't really drive it to, you know, keep the miles low for resale kind of thing. Right.
Yep.
And then your Lamborghini owners are your like NBA players, your NFL players, your drug dealers, your rappers, the thugs of the earth, you know, those are the guys. That's me. That's me.
I'm a thug. I got the thug. Thug life.
Oh, this is perfect. So I fit right in. So that's but honestly, most Lamborghini drivers are drivers. I have a lot of friends that are Ferrari owners, and it's not bad. It's just kind of like a camaraderie smack talk type thing. But honestly, Ferrari punishes you. The resale of a Ferrari, you punish if you have high miles.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's interesting.
That's how it is. So a lot of guys buy them. It is a thing where they're like, they're not going to keep it forever. And when they do keep it, look, my friends brought me breakfast.
Oh,
because I gave them crap about them not ordering me food. So
breakfast in the show. Breakfast in the show.
That's right.
Yeah. Breakfast in the show. So, just before we're on camera, I was telling you guys how they ordered without me, you know, rude.
The boogers. And where are you right now? Like we see you coming. It looks beautiful.
I'm in Daytona Beach, Florida. So,
oh my gosh,
look at that.
I came to Miami to see my blue Lamborghini Huracan, and my friends were driving over to Daytona for a track event. So I drove up here and kind of stayed on the beach in around Stewart, Florida for a couple nights, and then met them here yesterday. So we're just kind of
You keep some of your Lamborghinis in different places in the United States, right? Like in Miami or maybe California. Why do you do that?
Because it sucks when you go to a nice place like this and you're driving a freaking rental car or Uber.
You got to drive a Mazda.
Yes. And it's like, well, that kills the whole fun. And, you know, I like driving up the coast. I like driving my car. Plus, I'm kind of famous in my hometown. Okay. I have a lot of problems with the police because I drive fast. And I can't really enjoy my car there anyway. So I send them. So the Rolls Royce is in Dallas. This Huracan is here. Well, it was in Miami. It's been in Miami. It was in Sarasota. Moved to Miami. Now it's going to be in Daytona Beach because this is probably where I'm going to leave from. Actually, I think it's going to come home because Jacob and Willie came out with Willie's truck with a trailer, and they were going to bring back his McLaren, but it got stolen again. And so now we have like a, which by the way, I hate McLarens. So they're just like crap. And I don't know why someone would steal one, but this McLaren's been stolen twice now. Okay, twice. So now we have a McLaren. We don't have the McLaren, and they have like an empty trailer. So I'm like, well, maybe I'll bring it home for a little bit. And, we have some a big trailer that we'll haul it in when we want to take more than one car. But most of the time, I just have a shipper that I trust, and I'll say, hey, come get my car and take it here.
That makes total sense.
But see, I drive my car, and that's what I was getting to before Jacob interrupted me with the breakfast. But a lot of the Ferrari guys, they just are trying to keep their miles low. So they weekend it. You know, they go to the car show. They wash it on Saturdays. They clean it up. It never leaves its spot. They start it once in a while just to make sure. And I think that's bad on a car. I think it's bad for it to just sit there because it never really gets, like, I think, broken in. I think a car learns how a driver drives it. And my cars take punishment, and they're solid. And the V10 platform on the on Lamborghini, the Huracan platform, is the most reliable car you can get. Wow. And the Technica is the best Huracan, in my opinion, that they built. It's just an amazing car. It's a different transmission. It's got all-wheel steering. It's the exhaust. Typically, you buy a Lamborghini and you upgrade the exhaust immediately because they have to put all that for EPA and crap where they limit the sound, and so you want to make it like crazy louder. I usually lower them. I didn't touch this Huracan. It's just too perfect. And as Andrew knows, it's blue. It's called a Celeste Suffax. And you can probably find it on my Instagram there, YouTube. But it's a one of one. It's Celeste Suffax means heavenly in Italian. And so it's color is heavenly, and it's interior and exterior. Look on my Instagram because I mostly just post shorts on.
There you go.
There it is.
Oh, man.
And the interior you got to match exactly the same color, right? There we go.
Yep. Yeah, I think that one has it if you go through those pictures. Maybe not. I don't remember what I posted there. So I just post random stuff.
What I like
so the
about
the interior is also blue.
What I like about the way that you do this too, Steve, is sometimes like you see someone, they save up, they work hard, and then they get something like this, and they don't ever actually own the car. The car always kind of owns them. Like they're afraid to drive it. They're afraid to touch it. They don't want people to sit in it. Like, hey, you know, on your jeans, do you have any metal on the back pocket? You know, don't sit in the, you know, like it seems like you take care of your stuff. Right. I'm not saying you're flippant with it, but you also don't let the thing own you. Like you're Lambro Steve. You're not owned by the Lamborghini. Like you seem to like come from a great spot with it. And it seems like a source of fun, not a source of stress.
Most Lamborghini owners are like that. Most of them drive their cars. In my opinion, the major
differentiator.
Major difference. And yep. And my first Lambo was in 14, but when I really got hooked and got like the tats and the necklaces, and everything with Lamborghini was, I quit drinking in 2016 and I needed a new positive vice. Mm. Here's what's funny about it. I've had more trouble with law enforcement since I bought a Lamborghini than I ever had when I drank all the time and drove home.
That's interesting. By the way,
it's a bad idea. I lucked out. I lived like a mile from my favorite bar that I went to, but do not drink and drive. In fact, if you're a kid and you're watching this, just don't ever drink. It's like a new trend. You know, like a lot of restaurants and stuff are doing mocktails. They don't like the younger generation is, I don't know what else they're into, Andrew, but it's not alcohol, which I think is good. Alcohol is the only drug that if you don't do it, people ask you why.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That's true. Interesting. That is crazy.
Go out sometime and people will be like, oh man, why aren't you drinking? That'd be like me out here in Daytona Beach doing coke and saying, come on, Andrew, what's wrong? Why aren't you doing coke with me? But that's
be
how
so
people
strange.
Feel about it.
Yeah,
that's yeah it'd be a weird situation. I had a friend one time tell me, he's like, try to explain drinking alcohol to like an alien race that has no grid for any of this. Like how do you explain that? Like, we drink poison all the time, you know, several times a week, and we poison ourselves with this stuff over and over again. Why would you do this? Well, sometimes it's fun, you know, like he's like, it'd be really hard to justify alcohol if you had to explain it to somebody that has no grid for alcohol. It's a weird one. You're right.
Well, here's the thing. There's many, many people that, like my wife, that can have a glass of wine at dinner or she likes vanilla vodka and Sprite. That's like her thing. She'll have one. Okay. And then there's people like me that have all of them, right? And until you know what person you are, you have to be careful about that, because I'm an addictive personality. That's why I got tattoos of Lambo and necklaces, and I bought myself a like a Super Bowl ring that I built.
Things.
That's just a Lamborghini ring. So because I'm addictive, like I get addicted, and if you're a person that gets addicted, you got to be careful about what you introduce into your life, because.
Yeah.
It could be positive and it could be negative. Now, like I told you, I've met a lot of cops since I got the car, but overall, besides, you know, the jail time and some other weird things, it's been a good experience.
It's been a good experience.
Overall, net good, net positive.
Yeah, that's great.
Net positive is good.
So. That's right. So you seem to be like a guy who really designs your life. Like, you don't let other people like create it for you. You create your life. You create your day to day. You have fun throughout the day. How are you able to do that? What do you do? What provides your income? What is your profession? What are you doing to be able to afford this lifestyle?
Well, I'd like to say what everybody says, like, I have a great team, and I do, but, you know, I work in the mortgage business, and because of the digital world that we live in, we have a lot of technology that allows me to work and do my job from anywhere. You know, the same reason we're able to do this podcast from a beach in Daytona.
Yep.
Right? So if a customer calls me, whether it's 8 o'clock at night on a Saturday and I'm in Daytona Beach, or if I'm in Hawaii, I have my phone, I have internet. And I just travel to places where it's easy for me to communicate. So I don't go like to Europe where I'm 6 or 7 hours ahead or behind. I don't go to a place where, like, you know, I'm in the woods out there in Arkansas, Andrew, where you have those cabins that land where I can't get reception, because I realize that my phone is what keeps me connected to the world. And I do that. And then, in addition to that, my work wife, Casey, who has been with me since 2016, she actually met me right after I quit drinking, which is probably why she's been with me for so long. She's the work wife at the office that handles everything internally when I can't be there or have my laptop out. So, and then we've got more people on our team, but I would just say that, Casey plays a big part in that. And so, yeah, I just, you know, I answer my phone and, we have a digital application. I, always have my phone on me and, that's how I like field those calls from the clients. And then I work with, as you know, Andrew, I work with builders all over the country. So a lot of my business is new construction. And so that's why I got that airplane. I'll fly from, you know, Tulsa to Springfield, which is a 3.5 hour drive one way, or a 41 minute flight. Or I'll fly to, you know, Conroe, Texas, which is 2 hours, but it would have been like 8 hours in a car.
Fun fact, I used to live in Conroe. I lived in Conroe for quite a while, or for a couple of years there. Yeah.
My friend Bill just sold his company down there. And, he's built a massive castle. If you go to Ellison Castle on Instagram, it's really cool. It's literally a castle. So he's built I think it started out as a guest house that was going to be 15,000 square feet. Now it's going to end up being about 25 because they're just going to make it their main home. Yeah, they have kangaroos and... That's the car building that they're going to put all the cars in. See that castle?
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's just right off of Conroe Airport. So
that's crazy. I had no idea that was there. Yeah. That's wild. Now, I remember that when I very first saw your first video, I was like, this guy win the lottery or something? Like, how does he do this? For some reason in my head, the fact that you like worked hard and earned it wasn't the first thought I had. I was like, is this a trust fund guy? Is this like how did he do this? So when I first saw you,
everybody thinks, thinks.
I don't know why. I think maybe it's a limited mindset on stuff. But I was watching. There's no way. Like this is crazy. You know, you're just driving fast on the road and doing this. And there was like three guys with you, and you were doing. I'm like, man. This is pretty cool. When I saw you at Clay's office and I was like, oh, this guy has like a business that does well. That makes much more sense than just like a lottery winning or something like that. That was pretty cool.
Well, most people, when you're getting gas in a Lamborghini, you have to just be prepared that it's going to take you about 5 to 6 or 7 minutes longer than if you were in just a normal car, unless you're a jerk, which I try not to be a jerk, but you know, everybody wants to come up, take pictures, see the car, ask you questions. And I realized early on owning my Huracan that everyone asked the same questions.
Mm.
So I just got business cards made and I put the top 5 questions on the back of the business card with the answers. And then when people would ask me the question, I would say, hold on. And I'd go to the engine bonnet or the front bonnet and I would open it up, pull out a business card and hand it to them. And they'd go, oh, I was going to ask that. I was going to ask that because everybody asked that question. So they would ask like, what do you do for a living? How fast does it go? What's the horsepower? Can I work for you? Is that your car? And so the most
is that your dad's? That I ever got,
no, that's why, because they would say, is that your car? And so that's when I came up with which I don't know if you can still see it, if you can see it, but it's tatted on my arm now. It says, it's my dad's. Because I would just tell everybody that. Because it was an easy conversation killer.
Yeah.
Because it's like, is that your car? And I'd be like, yes. And that'd be the next question. And you know, you get to the point where you're like, it's almost like they expected you to say it's your dad's. And so they're like, oh, okay, man, cool. And it kind of like, they don't know what to say after that. And so then it's like, so that's what I say all the time now. So if people say, man, that's a really cool car. And most of the time, what's really fun is for people to not even know that you, like I was at the valet here at the, Hard Rock Hotel. Uh-huh. And this guy pulled up in this really cool, like old style truck. And I was taking pictures of it. And he goes, yeah, I need to turn this off with that Lambo. And I was like, yeah, man, that thing's cool, isn't it? And he's like, yeah, he doesn't know I own the car. I'm just some guy standing there, you know, like he has no idea. So we had a long conversation about how cool the Lambo is. And then he just walked off not having no idea.
You were the one that owned it.
You know, and mainly because I didn't want to open it and show the inside and do all that stuff because
do the full tour.
So sometimes
these are super moves. This is good.
It's better to just be like, oh, it is a really cool car. Yeah, that's nice. I wonder who owns that, you know? And then I'll say things like, it's probably his dad's.
That's right. It's probably his dad's. Man, these are time saving moves here. This is good.
Yeah. Important moves to know for sure.
That's right.
When I started MyPillow, it was just a problem-solution, one-product company. Well, since then, with the help of my dedicated employees, we now have hundreds of products, some you might not even know about. To get the word out, we're having a $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. And for the first time ever, our six-pack towel sets, you guessed it, just $25. Our brand new four-pack dish towels, $25. And I've never done this before. Premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, any size, any loft level, even king size for only $25. And there's so much more. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code for our $25 extravaganza. Order $75 and over, your entire order ships absolutely free.
What would you say are maybe like some pieces of advice for people who want to make a lot of money, earn a lot of money? What are like maybe three financial principles that you go by that that people should know if they want to make and earn a lot of money?
Find one thing that you can master before you do anything else would be number one, because I see so many people that are like trying to get into five different things and you end up being the master of none of them. You know, you end up putting 20% effort into this and 20% effort into this and 10% effort into this. If you put all your effort into something, and then when you've made some money and you have some money, your first instinct is going to be to go invest in someone else, and don't do that because most people suck and you're going to waste your money. So reinvest the money. That's what I always do. Someone says, you want to invest in something? And I'm like, how much? And they're like, 10 grand. And I'm like, if I put 10 grand into like ads or into something for the mortgage business, what would be my return? Okay, well, if I got two deals, this is what I'd make in commission. This is what I would do. And then I know my ability. I'll be like, no, thanks. Right? And so that's the number one thing is I would just say, get good at something. Doesn't matter what it is. Get really good at it. And then when you can set up the processes and systems like I've done with my mortgage business, where it doesn't require you full time to be the person that is doing all the paperwork and doing all the stuff that has to happen for it to get done. Then you can look at other businesses that you can put time into or other things that you can put time into, because otherwise you're going to end up, a lot of people, and you've probably seen this too, Andrew, a lot of people exit that first business too soon. And then what happens? It goes,
oh, it falls
they
apart.
They put someone in charge. And people think that I'm out gallivanting across the country and not working every single day, weekdays at 7:15 a.m. I get on a call with my team and we go through an agenda, we go through the things that need to happen. And it's not like I'm like off in California and Florida for a week and I haven't talked to anybody. You know, I literally am on my phone. I'm surprised it hasn't rang while we're on this call. You know, that's why it's good to do it at 7 in the morning Central Time, because no one's awake yet.
Yeah, so, that helps.
But that's my biggest piece of advice. Second would be, if you're a young person, the tendency is going to be to do the cool thing and hang out with your friends when you're in your young, your 20s.
Yeah.
And that is the time to go grind, because all of those people that you hang out with when you're 18, 19, 20, 21, probably up to your 25, when you're 40, you're not even going to remember who they are. Nine times out of 10, you're not going to remember who they are. So you're doing things and making decisions to maybe be around and impress people that aren't going to be with you long-term anyway. So focus on yourself. Be selfish. Go work That's on good. Your business. Go work on your career. Do the things that you can do when you don't have a family and kids and you have time. That's the time to like build the career. Because when you do have family and you have the kids, you're going to have other demands. Like, I got to be home at a certain time. I got soccer. I got baseball. I got, you know, whatever the kid has to do. And then sometimes you have a wife that wants you home, which I don't. I don't have. My wife is like, bye. And like, go have fun. So, but now, a lot of guys that I know say that my wife's a unicorn. So.
I got a big question here for you. You mentioned something earlier. You said if I have $10,000 and somebody's asking me to invest, I start thinking through the returns of like how much could I spend on ads. How do you balance your business expense, like your business expansion process of how much you're going to spend on ads. And because you could always turn that into this when you spend, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars on a car. Do you have that same like hesitation on buying the car? Because you could be like, hey, I'm going to buy this Airbnb, or I'm going to go buy, you know, I'm going to buy $300,000 in ads now. How do you balance out the fun with expansion of your business?
My fun has been the expansion of my business. I just married the two.
Okay.
So it's not like I can buy a Lamborghini as quick as you can buy a 32-ounce drink at Quick Trip.
Doesn't
and
take
that's
long.
Literally my decision. Like I don't, it's not even like a, people are like, oh, it's a $300,000 car. It is. I bought one. Andrew, the green one, the Verde Scandal Technica.
Uh-huh.
I bought it. It was $323,000.
Yep.
I picked it up on a Friday. I drove it, had some fun with it. And then I sold it and I made about 15 grand. So I know what I can do with a car and with fun. I said the same thing with my airplane. You know, with bonus depreciation, I can depreciate 100% of the $1,150,500 it cost me for that airplane.
Wow. 100%?
100% bonus depreciation. So that airplane, if I have a W-2 job that makes me $1 million and I'm at a 30% tax rate, which is $300,000 in taxes that you would pay, and I get to deduct $1.1 million over the course of 3 years or whatever.
Yeah,
for the purchase of that airplane, then I essentially bought that airplane for about $800,000.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah,
because of my tax deduction. But how I balance it in my like my business as far as what I spend is I've been doing this since 2005, and I know what works. Yeah. I don't do a lot of digital ads. I don't do a lot of like buying leads. I don't do a lot of co-sponsoring things with real estate agents and builders. What I do is I focus on relationships and production. We have tools now where we can look up production for real estate agents. Obviously with builders, which I target, I can look up like how many houses they're building, that type of thing. Mm. And I'm just very, it looks like I am shooting a shotgun, but I'm really a sniper.
Okay.
And I'm very specific about what I go after and who I go after. So I just don't, I mean, guys, you could spend every day of the week talking to someone about the newest, coolest technology that does whatever that you can spend money on that's going to help your business. But we wrote that book originally with Marshall, Andrew, and then Clayton and I just redid it called Call Your Leads. It's kind of a joke.
Yeah.
But it's a joke that actually isn't really funny, because the biggest problem is most people are looking for the new shiny thing to do.
Yeah.
And all they need to do is pick up the phone and call their leads.
Yeah.
They just don't call them. So that book is like 101 tips on call your leads. And it literally every page just says, after you called your leads, called your leads again.
Yeah.
Got to call on your leads, tech leads, because people are just it's laziness, because you think that someone else is going to do it.
Yep.
Yep.
Or you could create some kind of system, or you could create some kind of like,
you can automate it.
The AI calls the person back and does this thing. And now I'm sitting on a beach drinking my tea. The truth is, in order to sit on a beach driving Lamborghinis, you got to work your face off. Like you're talking about, you got to take calls when you don't want to take calls to do that.
And I still do it. People think it's glamorous. They're like, but if you spend any time with me, I mean, we have this joke where we say being present is a present.
Mm. It's true.
And so last night at dinner, Jacob is on his phone. He has a trucking company and he's on his phone constantly like I am. And I'm looking at Willie and I'm like, being present is a present. And Jacob's flipping me the bird, you know, he's like, because I'm like, we're at dinner and he had stuff that happened. So if you're hanging out with me, when I used to play golf, which I don't anymore since I quit drinking, people would say, do you have to have your phone? And I'm like, no, I don't have to have my phone. I could just not be here. And they're like, what do you mean? I said, well, if I don't have my phone, then I don't have my lifeline to my job, which is my income, which is what pays for golf. So I can not be here, and then I could be at my office, or I can have my phone. If you don't like having my phone, go play with someone else. If you don't want to wait on the tee, the third tee, and let another group play through because I have a business call I have to take, I don't care.
Yeah.
Go play with someone else. Like, I know this is a father show, so I would be like, giving him the bird, you know?
Yeah.
Like I don't really care, because you just have a sacrifice. It's a certain sacrifice. And even in my business now, it's not like I'm like off gallivant. I mean, half the time when I'm in my car, I have to throw it into Strata, which is the touring mode, and put it in automatic. So the engine gets really quiet. so that I can have a phone call. And that's what I do.
Yeah.
And then whenever the business is over and the work's over, then I throw it into Corsa, put it back into second gear to manual mode, and I try to go get arrested. You know, that's like the next move. So, but like, hey, if I'm in the mall,
I can still get a phone call from jail.
Yeah. If I'm in the mall, if I'm on the beach, if I'm anywhere, I've got my phone and I've got access to it. And people just have to understand that if you want to have massive success, you have to have massive sacrifice. It doesn't work the other way. Like, it doesn't go like, oh, well, I'm going to halfway it and then I'm going to build this amazing business. And look, I'm not saying that guys haven't. They probably, their dad probably gave them the business, I guess, but that was a jab. But, you know, it's just that it's not normal. You know, if you have somebody that like found something really cool where they've been really successful and it requires less of their time, that's a unicorn.
Yeah.
That's not normal. And you can't like expect that. And if you're looking at my Instagram and you're looking at my YouTube and people tell me all the time, you're always traveling everywhere. 90% of the time when I'm posting things that I traveled, it's from Tulsa because I didn't post it when I was in Florida. I posted it when I was home, but you think I'm in Florida. I also don't share my location with people very often because
probably a good move.
It's crazy. But in my business, people will say, hey man, I was going to send you this referral, but I saw that you're in California and I don't want to bother you. And so I just tell people that I do business with. I'm like, hey, you might see me in California. You might see me in South Africa. You might see me in Florida or New York or wherever, but I'm working
all the time.
So, and the reason I'm able to do that is because I'm working. So just don't punish me by saying I didn't call you because you look like you're on vacation. I want to slap those people.
Where all do you do mortgages at? Like if someone's listening to this and they're in Conroe, Texas, or if they're in Boise, Idaho, can you do them anywhere? I know you're based in Tulsa. Do you just write mortgages in Oklahoma?
Unfortunately, I only lend in the USA. So all of the 50 states.
All 50 of them, though.
I started by getting licensed in states that I like to travel to.
Smart.
But then I went to work for Cross Country Mortgage, which is the largest retail lender in the country. And we have 50 state licensing. And so I just started adding licenses. So I pretty much, I have my personal license in about every state that touches Oklahoma, plus about 16 others. But then through our company, because we have nationwide license, I can do loans in any state. We just have a way to do it. And if I find a relationship or somebody I do business with that's in North Carolina, for example, or Georgia or whatever, I just go get my personal license if I'm going to plan on doing more than a few deals.
So. Okay.
That's great. Well,
if you're out there and you want a creative mortgage, if you want a guy that'll work for you, take a call at a restaurant, take a call on a golf course and get it done. SteveCurrington.com. Go check him out. Go check out Lambro Steve on Instagram as well. Follow this guy. He's amazing. He's got lots of great stuff that he says. Lots of cool things that he does. He's an inspiration. He's an irritation. And, and above all, he is just a great guy. So go follow Steve Currington, Lambro Steve on all platforms. Steve, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
You're the man.
Thanks, guys. Later. I'm going to eat my breakfast now.
Do it.
Colton, we just had an incredible interview with Mr. Steve Currington. It was so much fun. But now,
the Lambro.
Yes. Now it is time for our favorite part of the episode here. Are you ready for the reacts?
I'm ready, man. I am ready. We got some good ones today. Are you ready for these?
Oh, I'm ready. Let's do it. All right.
Let's start with number one. I don't know if you could read that fast enough. It said, would you slap someone if it meant your child was instantly potty trained? And then it shows the new slap contest. Brought to you by Dana White. Dana White's actually doing these slap contests now. Totally
That's
awesome.
Wild. We're about to kind of start that process. So we're getting there. So I don't know. You probably had more experience with potty training through your life and your children and everything than I have. So you'd probably be better to speak on that one. But from what I've heard, yes.
It's an infuriating thing that is super good. And it's definitely part of the process. You got to do it as a dad. We did our daughter first because she was the oldest, obviously. So we did the 3-day method, which means basically they're just naked running around like crazy, you know, people, you know, yahoos or something like that for 3 days. And you just every 20 minutes or so, you're giving them opportunity to get on the toilet, reward success heavily, you know, whatever their highest currency is, give them that currency. And my daughter was potty trained actually relatively easily. My son, We just started with him last weekend. So last weekend was the 3-day, because you have to do it in 3 days straight. And so it required my full attention. And usually I am like, you know, 100 hours a week with flyover. So I'm like, okay, I need to give my full attention to this. So I took Friday, Saturday, and Sunday last week, and all we did was potty train for 3 days straight. And yes, I would absolutely slap somebody if my son was, I don't even know who the person would be. Take me to Quick Trip. I would just slap somebody randomly.
It's just a random person.
It is totally random if it meant my our son was potty trained. That's that big a deal. Man. It'd be great.
Love it. All right.
Next one.
Dell's longest relationship.
Never been in a relationship.
Oh, yikes. Okay, it's the worst. So now we know. Worst kisser, worse in bed. Explains the really tight skinny jeans.
What's been the most memorable time period of your life?
Being married to my wife for 51 years. I'll never forget her. We were a perfect couple and enjoyed each day together. And when I lost her, I lost my life. So I'm just existing now until I go and join her. And I'm 93 years old, so I don't have much time left, I'm sure. If you're lucky, you'll find a woman like I did who will never argue, never fight, never do anything against you, and she'll love you, and you'll love her the rest of your life, too. That's all you can ask for, is a good partner.
Man, those are two complete opposites. Those are literally two different generations, two completely opposite worlds of view. Man, that's good.
And they're both very prevalent worldviews, you know, like less so that second one, but the, you know, like we have conversations all the time. That's a very popular mindset is like, oh, you've not kissed anybody, you're gonna be really bad at it. Oh, you've not had sex with somebody, you're gonna be really bad at it. You're not, you know, my wife and I'm, you know, we were both came into our marriage. It was just the two of us. And I'm so thankful for that. You know, we got married at a young age. I was 19 years old when we got married.
Yep.
And,
me too.
Yeah, and I'm just so thankful that like my wife hadn't slept with 100 guys and that she wasn't great at it when we got married. You know, we got great at it, but man, it was just the two of us, and it wasn't you know this thing where I was like, man, I didn't want her to be great at it. I wanted it to be fun and exciting, and we have 80 years here together that we're going to live together and make these amazing memories together. You know, it's two different perspectives, but I'd say the 80-year-old rocking chair, looking back on your life perspective, you're not going to regret the people you didn't sleep with.
That's right. That's exactly right. And it's tough. And I think a lot of people have a difficult time finding the right person because that worldview of you have to become good at it first before you find the right person is so prevalent. Like it's just what people do. Most people do. So I think that's why a lot of people have a difficult time. But when you find somebody who shares that worldview, then I would, you know, once you've gone through all the questions and make sure you guys align, you guys like each other, if you're friends, then like stick with that person. That's a good person.
Spend the rest of your life serving that person. You know,
that's right.
For me, it comes down to like two really interesting, like little dichotomy ideas here. Paradoxical ideas. Like when I was 19 years old and I got engaged to my wife. One of my good friends at the time, I worked with them. He was not like a colleague, like, you know, you'd go out and choose, but he was the colleague I was with already. But because we were there, we kind of became friends and stuff. And I remember him telling me, he's like, Colton, you're making a terrible mistake. I'm like, why? You know, you don't want to make mistakes. When someone tells you you're making a mistake, you're like, you know, why?
Right.
I was like, why want to make a mistake? He said, your 20s are going to be the best years of your life and you're throwing them away now because you're going to get married. And I was like, what? Like what a limited mindset. I told him, I was like, why would I tell the most important person of my life about the best years of my life versus living them with her? And in his mind, the best things were when your wife wasn't around. And I'm like, I'm going to have this amazing life with this person. I don't want to tell her about the best years of my life. I don't want to look back and be telling her about my favorite memories. I want to live them with her and be like, remember when we did this? Remember going here? Remember, you know, meeting this person? Remember this thing? And like have, in my opinion, one of the most important things in life is the memories you're going to have. And you might as well, I advise young men all the time. I'm like, get married as fast as possible. Meet a great woman. You know, meet someone that your values align, like you said, make sure you check all the boxes, you know, especially the major things, you know, don't overlook something just for the sake of it. Like there's a lot of great people out there, but then after you're married, like, don't think about it again. Just put your head down, you know, do the weekly activities, like go on a weekly date night, you know, I mean, and then spend the rest of your life serving this person to the nth degree, because you love what you serve, and just serve this person to the most degree that you have. And you're going to have a great life. You're not going to look back with any regrets, like that guy said.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, I also got married at 19, so super young age. And people said the same thing. They're like, you know, this, a lot of people did. There's some people who were supportive, like Clay Clark, one of our mentors. He was very supportive. He was like, you know, find the right person and start young. Because yes, your 20s are some of the best years of your life, but they are also some of the hardest years of your life because you're building, you're constructing, you're learning, you're still trying to figure it all out. And you can either figure it all out alone, or you can figure it all out with a partner, with somebody in your corner, somebody to help you. And it really doubles your efforts. It doubles your endurance. It doubles everything. The ability to accomplish things. It's easier to, you know, I know people who are single and they can't buy a house because they're single and they're living in an apartment. They're like, I just can't do it. When you have two people come together working towards the same goal.
Yeah.
Now maybe you can put two incomes together and live in a house, like purchase a house. Like there's so many benefits if you find the right person to getting married at a younger age and building a life together and instead of building your lives apart. And then when you're late 20s, early 30s, then trying to come back together.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to get married if you find the right person at a younger age.
You know, when you're 18 years old, you don't have a ton of like, this is how I do things. I always do my laundry this way. And I always, you know, my dishes get done. Like you're kind of figuring this stuff out. And when you figure that stuff out together, it's a lot like I meet a lot of people that get married in their 30s and they're like, well, one of their hardest things is after they get married, they're like, well, this is how my toothbrush is. This is how I do this.
Right.
This is they already have all these like set things. And I'm like, man, we really molded our lives together at a young age.
Yeah.
And I like this is how we do these things. This is our habits. This is our way of handling our money. This is our, and, you know, also like, I think by the time you're 30, you've kind of established some stuff like you're a little more established. You've established a bit of a career. You've established a bit of, you know, you've got some finances, you've got some discretionary income. Like I remember when we very first got started, we were like, our grocery bill was, you know, $75 a week. And we had a big whiteboard and I was like, all right, how are we going to do this? What about this?
That's okay, right.
Well, we need to make an extra $50 this week to do this. And I got to, you know, go over here. And I remember I had to sell something at one point. I started three different businesses in my early 20s. And my wife was part of all three of those. And she saw successes and she saw some failures and she saw some stuff that really succeeded. But we did it all together. And it wasn't like she met me in my 30s where I have, you know, this established thing. We did it together. We built it together. So I'm a huge fan. Get married young. Spend your life serving that person. Some of the best advice I think someone can get.
Love it.
Ready? Number three?
Let's do it.
No soy boys here. If you guys couldn't see it because you're watching it, the caption on it said, "What my husband feeds me because I'm pregnant with our youngest son," and it shows this guy like making big pounds of steak. Big steaks, and then feeding her hamburger and bacon and all that stuff.
Love it. Yes. No, we're huge meat eaters over here at our house. We're grilling all the time. I grill every day at the office, and then at home sometimes I come home and grill for a second time. Love grilling.
There's nothing quite like fire and meat. That's one of the best combos.
You can't beat it.
No soy boys. You know,
no soy boys.
I make sure my son, you know, there was a little bit there. He wasn't eating his protein as much. He was like going for the carbs. Like if there was, you know, macaroni and cheese and a meat and then like some juice, he was going to pound the macaroni and cheese and then drink the juice and then like gets the meat. And then he'd be kind of full. And I'm like, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
Now you're getting fed one thing at a time. We're going to start with the meat.
Right.
And then you're going to get
this is a three course meal that we are now establishing.
You cannot be trusted not to eat your meat first. We're starting with the meat, man. Got to get that protein.
Lincoln does the same thing. He'll like eat pasta or the sweet potatoes or whatever first and then be like, oh, I don't know if I want to eat, you know. And so that's definitely a move. You separate it all out and give it to them one at a time while they're the most hungry, give them the most important stuff. But you know, it's really interesting. I mean, you can get a lot of your necessary nutritions. Like you don't have to take as many supplements and as many if you eat right. Like if you eat good meat, you eat good vegetables and you start that in your family. It's powerful. A lot of people told us that kids are expensive. Having kids are expensive. Buying baby food is expensive. Like all this stuff. Well, if you feed your kids what you're eating and you're eating healthy food, it's not that expensive. You know, it's as a dad, it's not expensive at all. Like, you know, it's why one of the reasons why we're like, man, how many kids can we have? Because everyone was like, oh, don't have as many kids because it's so expensive.
Yeah.
It's really not. It's not that bad.
It also kind of depends on the era. Like kids used to be considered like arrows in your quiver, like they were assets.
Mm.
But if you live in New York City or something like that, you live in, you know, these skyscraper type situations, kids are more like a purse and they're like an accessory that you're pulling around. Like our kids are very active in our world. Our kids help. They do stuff. Like my kids, you know, even at 3-4 years old, I'm like, hey, go pack your suitcase. Like, here's your suitcase. You know, go, like, we set out the clothes in it. Go put them in the suit. This was yesterday. Like, literally, I'm like, go pack your suitcase. Here's your suitcase. You got stuff setting out. Put it in. And, like, they're helpful, you know? And I think that that's an important piece there. Not one member of my family has ever had a cavity, ever. Like,
oh, that's great.
We take good care of ourselves. We eat really well. And I think that, you know, getting that protein in, we've never, like, cut out food groups. You know, you see people that, like, I'm not eating this entire thing. And I'm like, man, that's... That could cause a problem, you know, so we make sure you get all the food. Like we always eat fat, you know, we've always had avocados and always had, you know, all these important things. So
steaks. Never
had a fat-free diet. You know, I think those that can be harmful. So I get all the stuff in, get all the nutrients in, and make sure no soy boys, no Impossible Burgers.
No soy boys.
Eat the real meal.
That's right.
And thank you guys for joining us this week on Alpha Dad Show. We appreciate it. I hope you guys had fun. I hope you guys enjoyed Lambro Steve. Make sure you go follow him. Go to stevecurrington.com. If you're in need of a mortgage and want to go check that out, that guy is creative at it. He's hardworking. He's a good one for it. And go to alphadadshow.com. Follow us on Rumble. Give us a subscribe. Go to our YouTube channel. We got great content getting pumped up there. And go to our Instagram and check all that stuff out. And if you want to have us react to something else, email info@alphadadshow.com or send it to our Instagram page. And we will see you guys next week.
When I started MyPillow, it was just a problem solution, one product company. Well, since then, with the help of my dedicated employees, we now have hundreds of products, some you might not even know about. To get the word out, we're having a $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. And for the first time ever, our six-pack towel sets, you guessed it, just $25. Our brand new 4-pack dish towels, $25. And I've never done this before. Premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, any size, any loft level, even king size for only $25. And there's so much more. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code for our $25 extravaganza. Order $75 and over, your entire order ships absolutely free.
Somebody asked me today, I've got $5,000 to $10,000. How should I invest? How I would invest $5,000 to $10,000 is in yourself. You've heard the saying, the SME 500. I would absolutely invest into yourself over trying to buy some get-rich-quick investment. The best way to grow your wealth is to grow your wisdom and to grow the knowledge that you have on a particular subject. So for me personally, I spent a lot of time and a lot of effort at the time I didn't have any money, but I learned as much as I could about real estate. So when my wife and I purchased our first rental property, I was very confident. I was full of confidence because I had spent so much time researching the right way to do it and how to do it and the right property to buy. So if I had $5,000 to $10,000 and that's where I was right there, is I would just invest into myself. So that way, when I did have a good opportunity that arose, then I could purchase it or invest into it with confidence.